You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. So I'm a big David Cronenberg fan, like huge. I know Bob for sure is. We've talked about it before at Fantastic Fest at length. In fact, anyone who's been around me long enough has probably heard me go, no, I swear to God, Videodrome really is one of the best movies ever made. Don't listen to anybody else. So I was a little nervous when his son, Brandon Cronenberg, entered the film scene because, you know, children of directors and, you know, I don't know, it's a different thing, but it's hard not to try and put on them the affectations of their parents. Like Sofia Coppola, I feel like, has firmly distanced herself from her father as being her own unique style. I would never even compare their styles of directing. Brandon, on the other hand, is definitely playing in the same sandbox his dad is, and that's fine, right? The only problem when you choose to do that is you're going to be compared to your father. There's no question about it. And his latest, his second feature film, following his film Antiviral, which I liked quite a bit, although still not quite up to the level of like his dad's best movies.
Yeah.
This second film, as well as that one, also is firmly playing in that sandbox. And that movie in question is Possessor. And I think we probably have a lot of things to say about it. And who are those people who have things to say about it? Well, I've got Davey.
Hello.
Bob.
Good to be with y'all.
And Harmony.
Hi, guys.
Bob waves at the camera like, oh, yeah, we're on audio. Okay, yes. So the story of Possessor is, you know what? I kept thinking this is like a secret sequel to Existence, right? I mean, that was just something that came a little later in the film when it became clear that the person who owns this super secret tech company that does things with people's brains is Jennifer Jason Leigh. Like, this character name is Gerder. And yeah. I was like, holy shit, she was the one who developed the system in Existence. What if this is the sequel to Existence? Sure, I guess if you want. It's not necessary to believe that, but I liked to believe that because I love Existence, and this could have used Jude Law making a gun out of a dead mutant fish. The story follows Andrea Risenborough, who's great. I think she's always picks really interesting roles, and this is no exception, where she is a corporate secret agent who works for Jennifer Jason Leigh's character, Gerder, and this company that implants, they sneak an implant into people's skull, and it lets their agents, Andrea Risenborough, through a machine, project themselves and completely take control of those people's bodies so they can commit assassinations for the benefit of the company, who obviously doing it work for hire on some level, right? I mean, some of us think this is already happening in real life. I don't know. I'm not going to go totally Manchurian candidate here, but or conspiratorial on any level. But she is clearly good at it. It starts with her performing what said assassination in the body of a really good actress, Gabriel Graham, in a thrilling and gory opening sequence. And we see a little bit of Andrea, plays the character named Tazia, her home life. She's married and she has a kid. One can't help but wonder when she disappears for weeks on end. Sometimes our husband's not like, what is it you do exactly? But the bulk of this is they're saying, okay, we've got a new person we're targeting. It's played by Christopher Abbott, who is one of those actors you've definitely seen and stuff, but still hasn't had their defining huge role. I don't think he was in Girls and the first season of The Sinner and Catch 22. He played Yossarian. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but he is a guy who is in a relationship with the absolutely adorable Tuppence Middleton, Ava Parse, and her dad is this huge tech billionaire, John Parse, played by Sean Bean. And obviously the goal here is to perform the assassination on Sean Bean by getting into the body of Christopher Abbott. Well,
clearly,
this time,
it's Sean Bean.
Yeah, it's Sean Bean. Somebody's good. The moment you see Sean Bean, you're like, somebody's going to try to kill that guy.
It's the natural order of things. Yes. It's how life has to go.
Yeah. I mean, it really is like if you meet the Buddha walking down the road, kill him type thing.
Kind of this karmic, always returning to be killed yet again, Sean Bean. Yes.
I mean, they always say we learn by what we're taught, by what Hollywood and our educators show us. And all I know is you should kill Sean Bean if you see him. No, you shouldn't. Sean Bean looks like a lovely human being. Yes. But in this film, he is a real prick of a character. Yeah. His daughter is sweet enough. And the guy who's being possessed, Christopher Abbott's character, is obviously somebody with real problems. He's had problems with drugs. He's been given like a lower echelon position in the company because Sean Bean, despite him being very serious with his daughter, is like, whatever, this guy's a loser. He's not going to last. And we see that there are troubles this time around. Maybe the implantation isn't taking as well as it has in the past. And all this starts to culminate in a escalation of serious violence in the third act and some pretty surreal stuff, including one of the more disturbing revisiting of scenes we've seen before in a film, but through a different viewpoint using a weird fucking mask that I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot going on here. It's 104 minutes. It felt longer to me. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking, man, there's so many great ideas here and so many great visuals. I just wish they had found a way to A, cut out some of the extra padding, mm-hmm. or B, if there was going to be padding, it was more about getting to know these characters, because I never felt like we knew anything about Andrea Riseborough's character.
For sure.
Yeah.
I was just surprised by the amount of dick that just shows up. Like, oh,
yeah,
there's
a lot of dick.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, what? Did Chris trick me into watching porn? What happened here? Like,
I mean, it is being marketed as Possessor Uncut, so.
I don't know, man. Looking at some of those dicks, they look cut to me.
Yeah, they are very well, very well groomed dicks.
Hollywood circumcised. Dicks, if you will. Yeah. Yes.
Weren't just some regular dicks on screen.
Yeah.
Are you complaining, Harmony? Yeah. Are you like, don't show me any more movies with really handsome dudes' dicks in them?
I don't know if I'm complaining. I was just not prepared. Like, okay. You're like, what? Yeah. You know, it's one thing to be like, I'm going to see some dick. Like, okay, that kind of makes sense. Was not prepared.
So is your husband still in the background? We can whisper and talk about it if you want.
So titles. No. And no.
Yeah, I don't know. But what do you guys think? Because this is getting rave reviews all but across the board. And I think there's more than enough great stuff here to make this where I would recommend it to most people. But it doesn't have much in the way of solid pacing, mm-hmm. which I think is where it really kind of at points fell flat for me.
I think... for me personally, like I felt like the visuals were very interesting, if gory. You know, they were. You know me, I'm not a big like horror person, but I was intrigued enough by kind of the sci-fi element of it, of the jacking into their brains or whatever, use a Matrix. Anyways, but
you're saying jacking in, and you were just talking about penises
so
a minute
dicks,
ago.
Yeah,
so I'm
so
still,
many jokes. Yeah. Just splatter everywhere. It was really fascinating to watch. It was hard to watch. Huh? We talk about more dicks. It was very hard to watch because I'm such a sensitive soul, and I was like, I should have known better.
Just Davey's face.
Become a subscriber so you can see me do Robert De Niro. Jesus.
It was a lot of dicks.
It was a lot of dicks.
A lot of dicks.
It was a lot of dicks.
Oh, no. Anyway, somebody else talk. God damn.
I thought this movie was pretty great. I'm going to stop doing that. I literally can't. No, I really love this movie. Because I also, like, I love the shit out of Antiviral. And I think this has a lot of the same problems that that movie does, where it is so uninterested in having real people as characters and is just interested in its aesthetics and what it's trying to say and what it is. Like, it has a singular goal in mind and it will do it, damn everything else that gets in the way. And I really like, I mean, like, it's on one hand, that is bad writing. That is a bad way to construct a story. Just immediately out of the gate being like, I don't give a shit who these people are. But like with Antiviral, and also like with a lot of like Nicholas Winding Refn films, I feel the style and what it is trying to do is so strong and so palpable that for me, I'm like, all right, you get a pass this time, Brandon. But next time, in 8 years after this, maybe we won't be so lucky. It's definitely a far cry from what his father does. But I think there is that distinction in that when I watch a movie like Videodrome, it feels like it feels important and it feels great and solid all around. There is something about Brandon's films that I think Cronenberg has been tapping into over the past 10 years with his really weird movies. In that I feel like there is an exploration of the anxiety that is happening now that I really vibe with, because Videodrome is the exploration, or films like it are the exploration of the anxieties of that time, and it doesn't hit me as hard, where something like this, while a lesser film, feels more personal to me because I am much closer to Brandon's demographic than I am David's.
So I think Davey's just trying to show off that he's the youngest one on the panel right now.
It's like the fourth time he's mentioned it.
Yeah, I know.
I wasn't trying to do that. I will say I did have a joke later about about how Long Live the New Flesh was just referring to me. But I now have to think of another rating.
Hey, ladies, check out the new flesh.
Just in.
Oh my God.
When I see films like this, especially stuff that's darker sci-fi, I like to keep a really short, like, theme list or just things as it's going and, you know, strike me as about this. And I'm going to read you. I have about 9 here, and I won't say the two that are spoilers. It's blood, guilt, someone else always does the dirty work, more blood, loss of self, loss of reality, invasion and loss of personal space and reality, more blood, more blood, more blood, spoiler.
Yeah. It's great.
I love Andrea Riseborough, and I see a lot of her in what my favorite role of hers is Crocodile. It's my favorite Black Mirror episode, which is
really
murder, 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 crazy murder. And it's spoiler. Got something in common with this where it's the case of Black Mirror, it's more about denial because stuff is happening really fast. But with this one, like Chris mentioned, you can make the style over substance argument with this movie and probably swing it totally positive because the style is so good. But
yeah,
like we don't get anything about our main character, which may be part of the thing. The more I think about the blood, it is all about, like we kind of mentioned in the pre-show, you know, this is some crazy stuff, but, you know, people, you can look at maybe stuff like this. What's the real life analog of things like this? Like, everything is horrible. I think the two of the themes of the movie, especially get to by the end, are the harshness of everyone loses and the power of no one cares. Like, yeah. Sometimes business is the cost of doing business. But
yeah.
The opening, as gruesome as it is stunning. Like there's two giant light fixtures in the movie, one in the palatial house we see later of Sean Bean's, and then once in the opening segment. And the Jim or Kareem Hussein is the cinematographer. He did a couple episodes of Hannibal. Sorbet is my favorite episode, so that's actually how I remembered his name. But the look of this film is insane. The camera angles through the first five or six scenes of Christopher Abbott's introduction are so disorienting, and hugging walls and moving across the frame like you don't usually see. So there was so much I loved in this. The chair, we get this procedure that's happening with the main character where they're put into somebody's mind when she lays pretty much in stasis at home base, and there's this molded chair next to it where her boss sits, Jennifer Jason Leigh and stuff, and all I could think about was Dead Ringers.
I kept saying the headgear they put on her looked like it was designed by Jeremy Irons' characters for gynecological experiments.
Like, that's what I thought of. One other great I don't know if it's a trope or not, but the asshole lab tech. Like, yeah. I love that. Yeah. It's drilling down that, yeah, everything's gross and stupid and whatever, but it's just a little levity, and there's not much other levity in the film.
I was concerned that we wouldn't be able to crack jokes, but we seem to be doing okay.
Well, that's because like the material is talking about is in terms of the way it is speaking directly to Davy's soul and today's youth, I guess.
Am I the representative for the youth?
Was he old enough to watch this, Davy?
I just want to.
I'm sure this was rated R.
This wasn't. I'm an adult man.
No adult man has ever had to say, "I'm an adult man."
Oh, he did a Robert De Niro impression. Oh, only an adult could do that good of a Robert De Niro impression. It's okay. But I don't think that the material feels like, I don't know, sensitive enough in what it's talking about where you can't crack jokes about it or feel uncomfortable cracking jokes about it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here that you could look at as kind of absurd. Take it outside.
It's a couple shades from Tarantino blood work, like Kill Bill style blood work in some of this stuff.
And it does get extremely violent. Like I said, I really only have the primary problem that the times that it uses when it's not kind of going crazy the way it does so well, when it's just characters talking, they're not really talking about anything. Nothing is really pertinent to getting to know who they are or advancing the plot. What little bits we know about this corporation is like technobabble. It's like Geordi LaForge wrote it. It's just meaningless. It doesn't tell us anything about who the company is, who Jennifer Jason Leigh is, who Andrea Riseborough is. I mean, we know more than anyone in this film about Christopher Abbott's character, but even so, we know he's kind of a doofus, maybe a little bit of a douche, and that's really about it. Like, and they spent a lot of time futzing about with that. I don't know, man. I'm like I said, I came out of this thing feeling on one level very mixed, because I feel this could have, with some script fixes, been a truly great film. I mean, there's so much about it that's fantastic, and it definitely solidifies in my mind that Brandon Cronenberg is a real talent and somebody to continue to keep your eye on. But this is not the film to me that quite has broken him into the list of the great horror directors. But let's go into final thoughts. Bob, we'll start with you.
The movie gets that if you're trying to look at it as abstract as you can, because they don't. Maybe that's what he wants, Cronenberg, because he's giving you, you know, that if I don't show it on screen, it's worse than your imagination. Feels like part of the message is no matter how strong your will is, there's probably a way that it can be outsmarted that you have, you know, no control over type stuff. I think that there's, like I said, so much style in this film. I think that we got enough for the movie to be great. Like, it is beautiful. I think the sound is wonderful. It's scored by Jim Williams. He did a Field in England, Raw, Kill List, some other flicks. I just think, like Chris was saying, for the ride we went on, for us not to get anything more than kind of the ride necessarily, besides what's done with some of the tangential characters, it kept it from being like one of the great dark sci-fi horror weird blood movies of all time. It's definitely on the list of the good ones, but I'll give it 4 out of 5 mortal stab wounds.
Harmony?
I thought the color was really interesting in this film. Like, there would be times where it was really bright and colorful. It's usually when somebody's getting murdered. you know, what's the most colorful thing you can think of? A murder scene. Yeah. And then when anytime there was that interpersonal talk, it was all very kind of muted and not very colorful at all. And I thought that was an interesting step to take. For me, it was a lot. Like I said, I'm not sure what I was thinking, but I was like, sure, this is like dark sci-fi, I'll check it out. Yeah, wasn't quite for me. But that being said, it's actually a very well-made movie. I think for me, I'm just a little too sensitive. But so I'm going to give it a 6.8 out of 9 unexpected Hollywood dicks.
I was like, I literally was going, do it.
Dicks.
Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks.
Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Try not to rate any dicks on your way to the parking lot.
And that dick David. Has a bad dick.
Yeah. Dicks, dicks, dicks. Dicks, 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 dicks. Dicks, dicks, dicks out of dicks, dicks.
Dicks.
No, dicks. Yeah. I really dug this. I will say, if you have to watch this or Antiviral, you should watch Antiviral because I really, really love that movie.
Are there any dicks?
I don't think so. I don't know. It's been a minute since I've seen it. But I really like Brandon, and I agree that this is not his great film. Like, he's got something in him. He's got that 11 out of 10 horror masterpiece. But also, I mean, how many films did his father do before he made Videodrome?
Before Videodrome, but I would argue that, like, his first real horror feature, the one that broke him out, Shivers, it was his third movie, and it's astonishing. I just rewatched it the other day. It's like, holy shit.
I personally have, I've never seen it. I still have like pockets of his work that I need to get through. But I think in 10 years, if Brandon will make more than one movie a decade, I think in 10 years, there's a very real possibility that we will be having these conversations about, like, hey, remember Possessor? That movie was pretty cool, and it let us see what this guy was going to become. And I think that's really exciting to see someone this talented that is going to probably be a really big fucking deal in a decade or so. So it's gross. The acting is incredible. It's pretty. I like it. I like it a great deal. So I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 crunches.
You're right, Davey, that dick, 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 dick,
dick, dick.
I agree with your point completely there. No, you're right.
Dick, dick.
Dick, dick. Dick, dick,
dick. Dick.
We'll all sing at the end. In the key of dick. Dick, 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 dick. So, when you say that I think this is going to be something we're going to look back on, no, this Possessor is a really good film. It's definitely not the best thing by this director, but it's really good and really worth watching. And it is really good and really worth watching. And it definitely is watching a director on his way up and starting to figure out how to master his craft. And already second film, and he's already making films like this. Well, Jesus Christ. I mean,
yeah,
this guy is going to continue to make really films that are worth rushing to go see. I was actually really disappointed how many people just wrote off Antiviral, like completely wrote it off. And I remember seeing it and going, wow, this is great. I don't know why more people aren't talking about it. People are talking about Possessor, and maybe it's because it had a lot better marketing. Neon is really pushing this thing as well. They should. I think people who like art horror overall are going to come at this and enjoy it. I think it's a film that you have to put your phone down and just sit and watch. It is not a go drink beer with your friends and watch it type of horror film.
Unless your friends are fucking weird.
They're awesome.
I guess that's true. Sure. There are different kinds of weird.
Yeah.
But I did overall quite enjoy this film. I kept thinking, as I was saying, about how I wish there was more to build up the characters. Someone is going to come at me going, yeah, but you were talking about Existenz at the beginning of this review, and what did we really know about those people? I was like, yeah, but the difference is that was a nonstop puzzle of a film where something was constantly happening and you were constantly trying to put together all the pieces to figure out what was happening. It was just incessantly weird and asking you questions and constantly changing things. And that them being separate individuals is kind of no way to do that in that story without kind of ruining the type of story that it's telling. That part of the idea there is you don't know anything about these characters, and it would ruin the end of the film if you did. So, I don't know. Maybe that's over-explaining Existenz. Maybe I just wanted to review Existenz again, but here I am reviewing Possessor, and I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10 really brutally bloody neck wounds.
That's kind.
Yep. Of which there are quite a few in here. Yeah. You know, a lot of stabbing, a lot of things that are, you know, knives usually stand for.
The calibration scenes are fantastic. The rowdy music cut and the montage and the experimental stuff. I just, for me to have had that match the story, I think this would have been a 9 or 10 out of 10 yeah. for me.
It could have used a few more dicks.
Yeah. Give us the dicks that are on the cutting room floor, Brandon.
Yeah, we want to see the dick
cut dicks.
Give wish list for 2021: the butthole cut of cats, yeah. and the more dicks cut of Possessor.
Yep.